But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an chasm where results are compelled with Apostle Epher Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible began to say something very powerful. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Please say the death. Ish. The Holy Ghost is setting some altars on fire now. On fire. There is divine fire. He's purging. They are washing some people with fire. The way you wash clothes inside fire. They are dipping people inside fire and washing them. There is purging from the inner man. Hey. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He says, no more will iniquity rule over you. No more. But this opportunity will not be forever. Listen. A man is born as a baby. As a baby, he is helpless. He needs all kinds of help and support. Time affords him the opportunity to grow into a youth. And the finest version of a man is in his youth. So God isolated that portion of time and say the time you should carry the weight of your destiny should be in your youth. So the Bible, speaking in Lamentation chapter 3 verse 27, it says it is good for a man that he bears the yoke. Which yoke? The burden for lifting your destiny. Bear it in his youth. There are exercises you can only do it while you are still a youth. And if you are old and you want to put yourself through those kind of strain, you will record certain damages. Can I share something with you? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Listen. You will not have the capacity to turn the hand of affliction, the hand of oppression, the hand of addiction, the hand of iniquity at your old age if you cannot master it in your youth. Don't let anybody lie to you. There is a point where a knowing comes to every human being that if I don't overcome now, I will waste forever. The program of God is factored into seasons. He is knocking on the door today. He will not knock forever. There is a particular period of time God needs to do business with your life. He says, "Remember the Lord thy God in the days of thy youth." It is this same period Satan is focusing on too. He wants to spend it. So that when you have exhausted your capacity to war, then he leaves you. That time, you begin to sin on autopilot mode because the strength it takes to tame the appetite of the flesh is no longer factored in your member. Now you can fast. You can push your body now, and the health consequence, you can bear it because your body still have the capacity to go to war. If you don't fight in this season, brother, if you don't press and carry the anointing God allotted for you now, you will watch time go by. You will see time pass by, and then you will say, "Had I known." The champions of our generation, they will emerge in this season. Anybody who is still joking, still sleeping, still playing, and saying one day, you are really joking. There is no other one day. The day of our appearing has come. This is the day for the manifestation of this generation. Those who bring witness to the gospel of Christ in this generation, their day to show forth has come. From the camp of darkness, all kinds of mighty candidates that wield the banner of darkness, they too, they have produced their own. Every every single day there's another little boy aspiring to be Davido, aspiring to be Wizkid, aspiring to be one of these secular musicians, with all the nudity and all the antichrist systems and the culture of iniquity that they continue to allow their vessel to be a channel to bring into the earth. How many people become pregnant just listening to their lyrics, listening to their songs, lust entering them? How many people become aborters of destinies on the ground of the things that they allow to enter them? And the weapons of war from the camp of light, they are yet to manifest. Some of them, they are just sleeping. They are sleeping. Some of them have become dry bones, because certain infirmity was put into their vessel to make sure that it continues to eat and sap out virtue from their life until they are reduced to bones. But there will be one time. Oh, I told you that day, the Bible says, once more will I shake the heavens and shake the earth. There is once more for your destiny. And if you miss a window like that, you will lose reference in your generation. Don't be deceived. You don't have forever to fulfill destiny. You don't have forever to wake up. It's only once in a while that the horn will be blown, and those who hear the sound, they will wake up. The chant of that horn is, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, because Christ has come to give life. Woe betide you when they were sharing life, you are still sleeping. You will sleep all through time, and in eternity there will be no reference for you. What shall it profit a man? He lived and gained the whole world, and what he lost was his soul. So in the world, people are calling you the richest man in the world, and you are the poorest in Zion, because you have no eternal inheritance. There is nothing that can follow you from this realm into the next realm. Some of you listening to me, you have no possession in the celestial city. Nothing. Everything you have is inside this side. Oh, the day you draw your last breath, you will find you don't even have friends on the other side. You don't have angels waiting for you to receive you. No angel is your team. I want to show you something. Revelation 12, 11. In the scripture, Revelation 12, which we use as the context for this discussion, the Bible spoke in Revelation chapter 12. It began to tell us that there was war in heaven. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the great red dragon and his angel, and there was no place found for them. As soon as war broke out in heaven, Michael fought with the dragon, and then they casted them out. When war broke out in heaven and men fought in heaven, Michael rose up to the occasion and his angels joined him. They won the war. The war shifted base and came to earth. So you will find out that now the dragon came to make war with the woman and with the remnant of her seed that keepeth the commandment of God. So please let me ask you a question. Where is the blaze of war now? Come on, say it like you mean it. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 9, the Bible says, and the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth and cast out with him. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make what? Come on, Anakazo. Went to make what? So the war have shifted from heaven. It has come down to earth. In case you don't know what temptation is, tell the person by your side, warfare. In case you don't know why, no matter how much you work hard, as far as you are not living in iniquity, as far as your resources is not channeled towards righteous living, that you intend to do good in humanity, why they make sure wealth is not trafficking towards your direction, is called warfare. There are spirits that regulate the outcome of any person's life who intends to bring the counsel of God to pass. And so, on that account, there is war in this space. Hey. The Bible says there is no man that warreth, that entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. If you, there is a mindset you enter when you know that there is war. You don't live carelessly. A soldier at war is very conscious. There is a war consciousness that our generation lacks. And I will tell you what has happened. We have been drowned with pleasure. Everybody is trying to live the good life. Everybody wants a retirement home. Everybody wants a car. That kind of house. That kind of marriage. and you don't know that beyond marrying, beyond what to eat, beyond clothing, there is a much bigger agenda happening here. There is war. Tell your neighbor, there is war. You don't know. You know. Nobody decides to get up by themselves, decides to be naked, and decides to walk out looking naked just to go out like that. It's warfare. It's a battle for the souls of men. It's a spirit that sold that inspiration to you. Nobody decides to live like a dog, just going around, sleeping around, making sure they draw people into iniquity. No. When you see a man with wealth and the totality of his wealth is spent on the bed of fornication, sleeping from here to there, that is a gate of hell. It's part of the foot soldiers of darkness. These are those who are waging war, and they continue to pray around you, waiting for your vulnerable moments. The moment where you are faced with a serious, difficult situation, then they give you an option to compromise. Hey, now jam has come. They are looking for jam money. All those young girls. One gate of hell somewhere. Unknown to you, you did not exchange your body for jam money. What you traded was eternity. You exchanged the badge of your uniform. There is an army you belong to. You remove your garment of warfare just to accommodate another kingdom. I want to show you how they overcame the war when that war was being fought in heaven, so that we replicate their formula, because you don't need to do anything new. Just do what those people did when war was in heaven. Do it here on earth. They overcame him. Revelation 12 verse 11. Now, let's read together, everybody, at the count of three. 1, 2, 3, go. By the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Please, now we have read it as a house. I want everybody to read it personally now. So just tell yourself, 1, 2, go. Listen, please give me your attention. I won't take long today. Listen. The blood of the Lamb has been brought into this side of creation. Jesus had to enter time to bring that commodity into time. The word of their testimony has been brought also into time, because the word of the Lord has been given to creation. You have now even isolated it into text, so you can read and contemplate on it and allow the Holy Ghost breathe life upon it. So you are not bereaved of the word of God. You have it. You are not without the blood of the Lamb. You have it. And so I continue to look carefully, and to my greatest dismay, I say this thing with a broken heart. I continue to see a mixture between the world and the church. So much so that you can hardly tell the difference between the church and the world. There is no longer a dividing line. There is a mixture at some point. And anybody who wants to hold on to the pillars of consecration, they say you are an extremist. They say you are overdoing it. They say you are beginning to push this thing beyond necessary, that you don't know balance. And what the world call balance is compromise. Your ability to lose your heat, so that both of you will meet in a place called lukewarm. Hey, and there is a verdict for such kind. Jesus says, you are not cold, you are not cold, you are not hot, I'll spit you out. You cannot bring condemnation to the rebellious world until your own obedience is complete. How can your obedience be complete when the world have seduced us into their system? How does the world dress? You see it inside the church. No difference from their fashion sense. What they call fashion is what we call fashion. What they call success is what we call success. What is the definition of success in the world? It is the ability to accrue physical money, wealth, and your bank account having a good statement. What does believers call success? Money still. All of our education streaming from the Tower of Babel. We do not know yet, because there is a verdict that awaits a generation as deceived as ours. On that day, you will come and say, Master, in thy name, I did this. I cast out devils. He says, depart from me. I know you not. Yea, walker
of iniquity. You can be doing all these things and Jesus says, I don't know you. I don't know you. In fact, I never knew you. Where did we get it wrong? We are associated with the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I am washed by the blood. Every time our conscience is troubled, we plead the blood. We see danger coming, we plead the blood. We use the blood in our selfish way. Then we carry the word of the testimony and isolate only the things that please our hearts from it and ignore many other instructions and commandments and only stay with the scripture that you like. Hey, you know how many times we bend scripture so that it will say what we want it to say? When we are done with doing this to havoc to the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we omitted the third part. They love not their life unto death. If you are here and you are afraid of dying, you still don't qualify. Hey, there is a heart posture. For me to live is Christ. If I die, is gain. I'm not joking, no. Don't think I'm not. You are the least of my problem now. The challenge on ground is that until you are ready to die, you cannot live. Believe me, your life starts counting when you have embraced death. You have known that I will die. No matter how many times you quote, I shall not die but live, death is an ordinance that must happen. You are here. You can hear my voice. You don't know who your God is. Your God is not the person you are professing outwardly and you are declaring with your lip. Your God is found inside your heart. Your God is not on your lip. Your God is inside your heart. And this is why Jesus can tell a generation, I do not know you. So after you are done, it was not Jesus you served. Hey. There are two ways to know who you are serving. Two. When you are there, when you are there, when you are there. Oh, when you are there, darkness disappears. When you are there, 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 darkness disappears. When you are there, you are there. Romans chapter 6 verse 16. Everybody inside, outside, those following us online, read it as loud as you can to the shame of the devil. 1, 2, go. Two ways to know who your God is. You don't need to go to eternity to find out, because there is a surprise waiting for a clique of people. I'm helping you now inside time so you know your God. Who have you been serving? The first way to know which God you are serving is who you are obeying. Not who you are emotional towards. You can cry during worship, roll on the ground. If you don't find obedience to God in your nature, your God is who you are obeying. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey. Servants you are to who you obey. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I ask you to do? This is what Jesus said. You are calling me your Lord on your lips, but your allegiance, your obedience is not channeled towards me. Between God and Satan, who do you obey more? Let's see. No pretense today. The account of your life so far. Between God and Satan, who rules your will more? That's your God. That's your God. Obedience is the litmus test to know your God. Whose voice do you obey more? At some point, we'll just take 2 minutes. No need for pretense this night. Some people will cry to Adonai and say, there is a chain around my soul. me, I cannot help myself. In case iniquity has been plunged around you and they have pegged you to a particular compromise, making sure that you can't break free, that kind, you need to cry. I know that one day I'll be free. One day you now found yourself in the lake of fire. Hey, Jesus. It is better you didn't know all these things than you knew it and then you are living a double standard life. Outwardly you are a Christian. In the secret you are an abomination to God. Hey. When you are there, number two, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5. He says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy might. Listen. You think you know this scripture because you have read it many times. I want to show you something in this scripture. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, you will love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. Please pay attention. Look at me. What is your life centered around? What is the most important commodity? What is the object of your obsession? What is the focal point of your pursuit? I will show you. In case you don't know, before you had your own will, there is a system that has been rigged, designed to show you what you should live your life for. There's nobody here, especially in this side of the world, Africa. Nobody went to school because of knowledge. Everybody went to school because of money. Don't let anybody lie to you. What they are truly pursuing is money. But you need to go through this part in order to now handle something that can bring the money. If you don't know the role money has in your heart, you will need to disconnect briefly from this meeting. Just go into your soul and check what is the greatest pursuit in your life so far. I will show you what the devil has done to a generation. What do we call church growth? Are we really interested in the souls that were won, or it is membership strength that equally translates eventually into more offering? You don't know what Mammon is. You think you know it. Mammon is the God over many ministry. He is the invisible face behind the pulpit. All the growth strategy, all the soul winning, everything. Check why. The motive is not the eternal destination. It is that the membership can increase so that it translates into monetary gain. What is the God behind that system? Money. What has made you go through nursery? You cry, you say you don't want to go to school. They flog you and take you there. Primary, you went through 1 to 6. Secondary, you went through JS and SS. Now you are gathering money to buy jam. Some of you have finished your degree. You are going for MSc. What are you looking for? Don't let anybody pretend this night. Money. The role that thing has. If you are not careful, you will live for it throughout. Your whole days will be spent pursuing it. And Solomon calls that kind of life chasing after the wind. You will never catch it because there is no end to the appetite for Mammon. You will think that Dangote, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you will think that the place they stand, that they will be resting, that they will say, I've had enough. It will impress you to know that the more you have, the more fear of losing you have. The greater your possession, the more fear you are living inside. Because of the magnitude of what you have gathered, you will be so afraid of losing. You know, somebody is sitting here telling themselves that there are many things. There are plans. Once, by God's grace, once the money comes, Money will reveal who you are. And thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Without power, you cannot stand where money is. So you need, they must endue you with power so that you can stand in a pedestal where mammon stand and be uncorrupted. You need power to handle money and use it as an instrument. It's a spirit that masters the soul of man. There is no spirit throughout the account of scripture that scripture equated the capacity of worship to. Only mammon. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. Guess the two masters that they highlighted. Number one, God. Number two, mammon. Mammon is a master. You don't have money. If you are not born again, you are not full of the Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, whether you are still full of the Holy Ghost, I have seen tongue-speaking believers who bend their knees in front of mammon. That spirit knows where it will catch you. You know, you are young now. You are young. No responsibility. You are just speaking in tongues and making mouth. One day, house rent will be due. Children will hold your trouser like this. You will watch your wife crying. Suddenly, you will know that this spirit reigns if it's this side of the world. You will find yourself rethinking things you said God forbid about. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the words of their testimony. But this is the molecule we have abandoned. They love not their life unto death. There is a posture of hearts. Hey. I told you there are two ways to know the God you are serving. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, I've showed you the second way. The God you are serving is who you love. And you know what you love by what consumes your thoughts. So he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, and all of thy might. Let me ask you one question quickly. You know, there are those of us who wake up in the morning. If you are getting blessed, say amen. Amen. From early morning, first thing they run to check is their account balance. Wait, I'm serious. Listen to me. In the night before you sleep, you are busy planning the people you are supposed to call to give back the money they are owing you, or some business that is supposed to happen. This is you that don't know whether you will see tomorrow. I wish I can do one experiment. Let me show you what we are living for. You will be amazed to see that God is not among the priority. And the only way to overcome this dragon and the government he has established on the earth, it is that these three pillars must be in place: the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and you must love not your life unto death. In Amplified, please, media, give me the Amplified of that scripture. Let me show you what it means to love not your life unto death. Oh, brothers, sisters, I submit to you, there is a level of detachment from the rudiments, from the objects, from the product of this world that is necessary for a victorious life. There is a level of detachment necessary. If you get attached to anything, Satan has found your link. It was Jesus that said, the prince of this world cometh and finds nothing. 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 In Matthew chapter 6, the scripture says, lay not up for yourself treasures in this world where moth and rot and thieves can break into it. He says, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Before we continue, let me ask, do you have any treasure in heaven? Let me explain why. You know why we give? Do you know why giving is a part of worship? And then those who are hearing something else, You know that I am not one to cajole anybody to give. It has never been part of my track record. I have never done that, and I will never. You know why you give, both to God and to men? You are giving to keep your soul under check. Because without that exercise, mammon will master you. You will not know when you begin to live for that thing. And so the only way to remain, you know, in charge of your appetite over that spirit is that God gives you the opportunity to let go of that thing. As you let it go, you deprive it of the power to control you. This is why it is painful to give, but it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Is your life still your own? He that loves his life will lose it. He that loves his life will lose it. I would waste upon your altar. I would waste following you. At the end of song, the world would say of me, there's so many things to follow, but I live following you. In life or in death, maybe you change it from a song. Sing it and pray with it now. At the end that song, no one would say of me. There's so many things to follow, but I believe following you. First John chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know if your heart has been seduced. You have already been living for a strange God unknowingly, and the devil is hoping that one day God will tell you, I don't know you. What you are thinking, what you are breathing, what you are imagining is about money, about house, about all these things. And let me tell you one truth. There is a way to get it, and I will get there. I have not, you know, undermined the place of financial prosperity. It is important. But I'm also showing you the flip side of the coin, that this thing can corrupt your soul if you don't go about it the right way. There are many of us under the sound of my voice listening to me right now. The current situation of your life can only be described as spiritual paralysis. You have been paralyzed spiritually. The intent to will, desire is inside you, but you don't have the capacity to bring your intention to pass anymore. If you are here and you want to pray but you cannot pray, the diagnosis is one: you are paralyzed. If you are here, you want to fast and you cannot fast. You want to say no to unrighteousness and you cannot overcome that sin. The only way we can describe your infirmity is spiritual paralysis. That is, the intention to be right with God is in your heart. Your heart wants to stand, but there is a nature that has corrupted your vessel, that has made sure that you will never comply with God in your life. Unfortunately, I speak about the greater percentage of the Christian of our generation. This is the state of their life. Because many princes has collided with them. Listen, in my few years on this corridor of ministry, I have met a whole lot of ministers. I'm talking about people who are blessing people from the pulpit, who come to me in the cover and say, please join faith with me. And I still see the arrogance and the pride. You don't want to even acknowledge that you have a challenge in your life. He said, join faith with me. There is something I'm trusting God to live my life. And you veil it. You hide it. You still cannot open up. And then I probe further. I say, what are you trusting God for? Then he said, you know how the generation is. Nobody is perfect. So he wants to first generalize everybody. You are not even ready to change. You know that nobody is perfect. Me, my own. So he first say nobody is perfect. Then he say, because he is saying that everybody has something. My own is just lost. I'm just lost. I'm struggling with from time to time. Most times it's not a challenge, but I want to be consistent. You can see lie, arrogance, pride. He has not reached that point where he loved not his life unto death. He is still alive. So his reputation, what people think about him, is still very important, more than his salvation. He that keeps his life will lose it. There is a level of death that must happen to this vessel before you can effectively represent the counsel of God. There are many living men who have never tasted of death, and they are talking about the resurrected life. Men who have not gone through the grave, and they are talking about the resurrected life. The cross that ended Jesus' life will end your life too. You too will go to that cross. Who is it that wants to follow me? Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow. Have you carried your own cross? Have you gone? And then you remain, continue to pamper sin. Today you say, okay, I know what I'll do, I'll fast. And then you are doing all these things, and time is strengthening the cord of darkness in your life. Because a challenge that you are inside for 1 week is not the same as a challenge you are inside for 1 year. As at 1 year, the rope that they tied you with has become stronger. The cord that binds your soul has become thicker. There are individuals who are under the yoke of addiction, and they have laid there for 15 years, some 20 years. It has become a rusted chain, a heavy chain. It has become a stronghold. And if you are not careful, you will pass captivity back to an innocent child. So you will conceive them in iniquity, and you will give captivity to a generation who had no reference to your own compromise. This is why I told you there is a time to fight. There is a time to go to war. There is a time to say, if I perish, I perish. Let this thing die with me. I don't want an innocent child to suffer because of what I have done. You are pampering loss now. There is a baby who don't know anything that can become a victim of the atmosphere you have tolerated. There is a destiny who have no idea that can become a victim of this thing. A time will come, it is no longer about you. It's no longer about you. But the selfish man will never change. He is there. How many people here cannot go without sex for a week? You can't go without sex for a week. You pretend, you try to hide it. You wear all kinds of, you know, long Christian kind of wear. You know, there's no need again. Eternity is beckoning on us this night. You either win this war now or you fail forever. It is this youth, this time, this is the moment. The day when you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When you hear the blowing of the trumpet, don't say, one day, I'm not ready. It is that day you run out for salvation and say, Jesus, help me. Help me. I cannot help myself again. I have tried all my own options. There are people who have been drawn into depravity. There are people into homosexuality. People into lesbianism. And they are feeling shy to even mention it to any human being. This is why atmospheres like this are designed so that a man can step into fire. You stay inside the fire. Don't escape. Stay there. Hey, media, help me find that scripture. It says, bind the sacrifice with cord, even unto the horns of the altar. When you become a sacrifice and you yield yourself, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of the Lord, that you present your body. You, bring your body to the altar. Leave it on that fire there. Don't let the fire stop. It will burn until no darkness is left. Ah. Let's read together at the count of three. One, two, three, go. God is Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns. Tie the sacrifice with ropes. Tie it to the horn of the altar. Let it not escape when the fire comes. Ah, this is the only way living sacrifice are. Because when the fire comes, you would want to escape the dealing. And that fire is meant to purify. So you must tie yourself with a cord that even though you want to run, it's too late. The fire must work on you. The fire must complete its assignment. Those of you who are always escaping seasons, Jesus will show you another encounter. You will wake up and know that there is a calling. There is a heightened spiritual sensitivity. You will start fasting. Before you know, the whole thing will crash again. It's because they have not bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Money is not your problem. Your heart posture is your problem. I am absolutely convinced. I have seen it by experience. It does not take God anything to bless a man. The ways God can bless you, they are innumerable. Your heart must be dealt with. And so I conclude tonight's teaching with one more subheading. No. Let me first tell you how to overcome paralysis spiritually. Paralysis. Because when you find out that you cannot move by yourself again, you don't have the capacity to initiate movement. You cannot fast. You cannot pray. You cannot keep to the study of the word. You open your Bible like this and 5 minutes you sleep. You are no longer in charge. Although in your mind you say, today we study Genesis, and you are only able to read 5 lines. Oga, you are no longer in charge of your body. Paralysis has crept in. How do you overcome? If you are writing, write number one. Write fasting. Write fasting. I'll tell you why. These are time-tested principles, fasting. In life, oh, in death, I am yours. Oh, I would waste upon your altar. I would waste following you. At the end, that's all the world would say of me. There's so many things to follow, but I choose following you. In life or in death, I am yours. Listen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you find out you are no longer in control, there is something you can control. Control your physical appetite first. Say no to food for a moment. I want to show you how to call your body to attention. When your body develops a will of its own, when the flesh submits to a government contrary to the government that is at work in your spirit, when you find out that another will becomes stronger than your own will, there is the first way to begin. Number one is fasting. It's not the study of the word. It's not prayer. Have you tried to pray when you are down? And you find out that when you enter the place of prayer, no matter how you try, you just find out that you cannot tarry there. Am I talking to people who don't know it? Okay, you are pretending.
It's now I know. You want the person who is by your side to think that you are a cherub. You have never fallen. Hey, Jesus. Have you been down spiritually and you try to initiate a change of temperature by trying to start praying loud? Did you find out that your loud prayer can only last for 5 minutes or 10 minutes at most? Hey, you must be quickened before you can call upon the name of the Lord. And so you cannot revive yourself. You can't. You cannot set yourself on fire. The fire that ignites men comes from the kingdom. The heavens must be rent before it pours down. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire upon everywhere. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire upon. When you see food that morning, your body wants it. Your body needs it. The only way you can exercise will over it is not on spiritual matter yet. You start from the physical. Leave the food that day. Walk past it. By 12 o'clock, your body is shaking. It's a government telling you that I am not with you on this matter. You too reply it. I will not cooperate with you again. A spirit will not come and help you yet. By 12, it is still you who is showing God that I need you. In case you don't know what that morning to 12 o'clock is, it's a song your spirit is singing. It's, oh fire, Holy Ghost fire, burn everywhere. Oh fire, Holy Ghost fire, burn. When you hit 2 o'clock, suddenly you now start feeling a little sense of consciousness. Hananabo. It is that time you would say, let me pray small. That small prayer, a spirit will come and add his hand and say, I have seen you. I will not let you go on your strength. You have done your own part. Can I share something with you? There is a journey to touch fire. You don't sleep and fire come upon you. Fire is not commanded. Fire is attracted. You attract fire by a posture. Your heart must become something before fire comes. There is a kind of altar that attracts fire. On the context on the mount, where Elijah and the prophets of Baal decided that the God that can answer by fire, let him be God. What is the difference between the altar of Baal and the altar of Elijah? Elijah set 12 stones. 12 stones. And he arranged the woods and cut the offering in pieces. Then he poured water. Each of these things are symbolic of mysteries that must be on ground before fire come. The 12 stones signifies the 12 tribes of Israel. That you have not come as an alien. You have not come as a visitor. I am one of the household of God. The 12th tribe of Israel is the foundation of that altar. So the first thing that brings fire is relationship. You must be part of this kingdom. When he laid the foundation down, remember the prophets of Baal has been shouting fire since. You don't command fire, you attract it. There is a way you live your life, fire will start following you first. There is a way you live your life, you become a figure of fire. There's one clip I saw. I don't know if the media can help me find it. It's just, you know, it sets my heart on fire all the time. It's just a figure of a man, a moving fire, just walking. Fire. You go to bed like that, whether you pray or you don't pray, you are untouchable. The whole place is on fire because there is holy purity burning from inside. This is not about eye service. It's that in the secret, God knows you. I told you the prayer I heard that Dikumuyi prayed. He says, Father, you know me and I know you. In the name of your son, Jesus. I say, Father, you know me. Who does God know you as in the secret? Born everywhere. Oh, oh. You know, by 3 p.m. you say, let me just pray small so that it will not be like we have not done anything. You who have been struggling with prayer for years, suddenly you just start, Hamata Kabola,
Vata kopeteki vahanada ratetetetete pakasoko fehetati shitakaban dukupapatu kafaba shatatatatapahata vera. Something begins to well on your inside. It is a spirit that has carried that intercession. Listen, when you are coming back home, the Holy Ghost will not allow you to do all the walking. The Holy Ghost will walk to and come and meet you in the center. As a sinner, decide to say, I have had enough in my life of hypocrisy, my life of sin, my life of disobedience. I will go back home to the Father. As you are going home, in the parable of the prodigal son, the father did not wait for the boy to come home. The father ran to meet him. There is a place the Holy Ghost will go and hold you and hold your hand and carry you back to the kingdom. You are not the one to walk all the way. He will hold your hand. He will hold your hand. It starts with fasting. You afflict your soul so that a spirit can become conscious of your consecration. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire upon everywhere. Oh, oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire. Oh, fire, purity fire upon everywhere. Oh, oh, fire. When you born, then they will now take you from the realm of burning. You have gone past burning. Now it's about intensity of fire. There's a difference between a candle and a campfire. If I light a candle here, that part of that hall will still be dark, because although it is light, it does not have the intensity enough to dispel the full coverage of darkness in that space. Just in case you are a Christian in a family and Satan is still doing business in that family, there are still sicknesses, still all kinds of afflictions here and there. What you need this night is to increase the flame. You now see what we're talking about. So what happens to a Christian that is not living in sin, but he wants more? He will go through the same paths. Afflict your soul. Allow a spirit see that you are doing this thing because of him. Allow him know. It's when you are fasting, it's like you are dialing God's number. Is they will not pick it immediately. You will have many missed calls. Many. 9 a.m. they will not pick. 10 a.m. they will not pick. They say, let's see whether he is serious. 11 a.m. they have not picked yet. 12, your flesh say, what are they feeling like? What are they feeling? You know how arrogant the flesh is. Why don't you eat? That thing telling you to eat is the thing telling you what? Beg. No, go kill yourself. They say, use this bread, whole body. Say, I no go whole body. Ah. Holy Ghost fire. I want more. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire. of being cold. I'm tired of lukewarmness. I am tired of being a victim. Listen, listen. Listen, please, listen, listen. In Esther chapter 4, verse 16. In Esther chapter 4, verse 16. I want to show us something before we go. Purity fire burn everywhere. Oh, fire. Purity fire burn. See, listen, listen. Esther was about to confront something that has never happened before. It is not the custom of the Medes and the Persians. She said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. So on this matter, my fasting alone is not enough. I need other people to fast. People can fast for you. Fast ye for me. Let this, and neither eat nor drink 3 days nor night. That is 3 days and night of dry fasting. Why? I also myself and my maidens will fast likewise. But I don't trust ourselves alone. I want the body to support me. This is why we gather. This is why we are gathering. This is why you must be a part of a fellowship, a part of a church. If Satan removes you from the assembly, you are gone. Oh, you need a clan to join power with you in your day of war. I and my maidens will fast likewise. Listen. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. Have you come to that point where you know is either I get it right now or I will fail forever? Have you come to that point where you cannot afford any mistake again? You know, I tell myself some things just to keep me focused. I say I have exhausted my excuses in life. I don't have any excuse again. I don't know whether you are one of us who know that there's no room for excuse again. I can only but get it right going forward. Whatever it will require for me to become what God intended for me to be, I will commit myself. I will not be given to pleasure again. I will not look for comfort anymore. I will do whatever it takes to represent the interest of God. That's number one way. Listen. That's number one way to overcome paralysis. Number two, please write fellowship. Write fellowship. Fellowship. Oh, Holy Ghost. Fellowship. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Next verse. It is like the precious ointments upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. This is why we come together. You may lack oil, but when you come together in fellowship, in unity, oil starts flowing from Aaron's head, comes to his beard, goes straight to his garment. All the part of the body will receive oil, but the oil only came upon the head of a priest. When you see that spiritual paralysis have set in your life, you no longer have the will to set in the right course. It's not a time to avoid the gathering of God's people. It's a time to look for anywhere fire is burning. Go and enter quickly. Because in this kingdom, you can tap fire. Let me show you another scripture, just in case you don't know what we're talking about. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. So when you find out you are becoming blunt, you are becoming dull, you quickly run to somebody who is sharp. Hey, you know, there are people here who want you to be following them up.
A Christian come and tell you, I don't want to fornicate again. I don't want to be masturbating again. I am tired of all this thing I'm doing. And the person wants you to be the one pursuing him. You are not looking for fire. It is iron that sharpens iron. As a man, the countenance of his friend. If you are truly sorry, if you are truly tired of that situation, you will join yourself to something that has the fire you are looking for. Because by association, you can tap fire. It was Miles Muro, I believe, that said, if you stay long enough in the barber shop, you will get a haircut. That is, if you just continue to sit in the barber shop, as they are gisting, one day they will look at you and say, your hair is bushy. Come make I barb you. They will just barb you for free. Stay around fire. Don't run from fire. The challenge is when the devil begins to dampen people's spiritual life, the first thing he does is alienate them from the source of their salvation. So suddenly you become offended at the gathering of brethren. You want to be alone. The devil tells you, look at how that lady is looking at you as you're entering church. Then you say, I will not even come. You don't know that they are trying to haunt you. You are dying secretly. You know. And you want another believer who is on fire walking with Jesus to be the one looking for you week in, week out. You are not serious. By yourself, carry yourself and say, brother, I thank God for the last week. I did not fall last week. Thank God for his victory. You are the one giving your report. Nobody asks you for it. Submit yourself to another. Start sharing it. Fellowship. 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 I don't know what Satan has spoiled in your life. I don't know what he has planted. The fire of the Lord will burn everything he has not planted tonight. Please, I need you to do something very quickly. Wherever you are here, you know that you have not given your heart. Your loyalty is not to God. You are living. Listen, please. While I was speaking, you did a heart check and you realized the greatest pursuit in your life is money. Come. You are here. You know that there is a need to come to Jesus this night. I will not always have this opportunity. You know that I am in a season of my life where I either get it right or I waste forever. Please, run forward. Don't wait until people come. Come forward quickly. Well, this place cannot contain us, so maybe those outside can just stand in front of the projection. Wherever you are, inside, outside, those following us right now online, you know you want to make this decision. You know a spirit has whispered to your heart, now is your moment. Now is that time I want to do again. I want to set you free again. Wherever you are, please start praying now. Have mercy. Save me, Holy Ghost. I cannot help myself. Holy Ghost, don't let me waste. Don't let my life waste like this. Yes, yes. Talk to him. Don't watch me. Don't watch me and allow me waste like this. Don't let me die like this. Holy Ghost, help me tell Jesus I'm sorry. Oh, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, don't let my life waste.
Make sure you are talking to him. I humble myself before you. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed to say I am nothing without you. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I cannot know you by myself. Yeah, yeah. I cannot make it on my own. Yeah, I cannot know you by myself. I cannot see you by myself. I cannot make it on my own. Oh, I cannot see you by myself. Yeah. I cannot touch you by myself. I cannot see you by myself. Take over, Jesus, take over. Take over, Jehovah, take over. I cannot know you by myself. I cannot know you by myself. I cannot see you on my own. I cannot see you on my own. I cannot touch you by myself. I cannot see you by myself. Take over, Jesus, take over. Jehovah, take over. I cannot know you by myself. Everybody who have heard the sound of this alarm, and you know that this is the beginning of a new season for my destiny, join me. Let's take this voyage together. Say this prayer with me wherever you are, inside, outside, those following us online. Say, Lord Jesus. I want you to say it as loud as you can. Lord Jesus, I accept that I have sinned. I have wandered away. Today, I return. Accept me. Wash me. Present me to your Father. I am tired of running away. today I
return.
Put your Holy Spirit in me and teach me how to be righteous.
Let no sin
have power over me.
Today I believe.
Today I confess.
And I know
that I am a child of God.
No longer will I live for sin.
My life is not my own.
I belong to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Congratulations to everybody who have made this decision. Listen, in order not to cause a stampede here, everybody retreats back to your respective seats as I minister the Holy Ghost on us with a fresh baptism. Those of us who have not received the Holy Spirit, those of you who have received and for some time now you have lost your sharpness, there will be a fresh baptism. A fresh baptism. A fresh baptism.
Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire burn everywhere. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire burn. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire burn everywhere. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire.
Wherever you are at your seated positions, begin to pray. 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 I'll be praying over the sick any moment from now. I'll be praying over sickness. I'll be rebuking infirmities. I'll be praying over those who are afflicted.
Oh, fire.
One minute and say, Holy Ghost, don't let me escape. Baptize me with fire. Baptize me with fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh encounter. Are you praying?
Thank you.
us. He's burning, he's burning. He's burning sicknesses now. He's burning away sicknesses. I command sickness out of their body by fire. Out by fire. Outside, outside, outside. I release the fire of the Holy Ghost upon you outside. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, I set your altar on fire. There's something that will happen here now. Lost visions, lost visions, lost visions, lost purpose, lost assignments. The fire for restoration is moving. It's moving now. It's moving. Ushers, please go around. Help them, help them. The fire for restoration. Time is being restored. Time is being restored. Time is being restored. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't let them escape. Don't let them escape. Be upon that one now, Holy Ghost. I don't want it to be an emotional decision. That is why I have taught the instrument to stop, so that the Holy Ghost can move. It's a good time to pray. Don't look around. You didn't come to look at me. It's a good time to pray. Holy Ghost, don't let me go back like this. Don't let me return like this. You can't go back the same. Refuse to waste. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. This one is conscripted. This one is separated. An ordination has been placed. A demand is placed on this grace. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. More upon this one. By fire. I measure you. Help them. Help them. Please help them. By the fire of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, set altars on fire. I set altars on fire. I set altars on fire outside by the fire of the Spirit. I separate you by fire. I'm seeing the grace of prophecy. The grace of prophecy. The grace of prophecy. Now upon them. By the power of the Spirit. Now upon them. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire. Listen, listen. 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 There are four people outside here. Four. You have been praying to God. You have been asking the Lord, what I have lost. I have lost it. I acknowledge that my carelessness has lost it. Please restore my ordination. Restore my season. I hear that prayer in my spirit. Somebody is crying, restore my season. Restore my moment of appearing. Now I stretch my hands over you. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, I call down fire for restoration. Everything lost now, 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 by the fire of the Holy Ghost, I set you on fire now. Oh, fire. Please help them, help them.
Now listen. You are saved. You are washed by the blood of Jesus. Satan has no business over you again. So now, we are going to ask him to come and carry his property that is in your life. Sickness is Satan's property. Sickness is Satan's property. Delay is Satan's property. It is the wages of sin that is death. And if Jesus has blotted out your iniquity, your allotment is no longer death. So I clean that verdict of death hanging over somebody's head. Somebody here having that fear of death. Fear of death. Now by the power of the Holy Ghost, I set you free now. I'm going to be speaking. We are going to be demanding Satan to carry all his belongings, his properties from the life of God's people. The only thing I need from you is to shout amen as loud as you can. Are you ready? Inside, outside, and those following us online, I just need your amen as a point of contact, as loud as you can. Now I declare by the blood of Jesus over God's people, anything God has not planted that is in your body, that is causing you unrest, that is causing sickness, that is causing disease, that is causing illness, I declare now by the stripes of Jesus, we uproot it in the name of Jesus Christ. I challenge the spirit of delay, the spirit of near success syndromes, the spirit of frustration, of curses, of bad luck, out of their lives now in the name of Jesus Christ. Please help them, help them. I release the fire of the Lord. I release the fire of the Lord over every destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody under the sound of my voice that is being restricted, that is being frustrated, you wake up early, you sleep late at night, and yet you eat the bread of sorrow. Everybody here whose hard work does not translate into blessing, now I decree over your life, go and prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit husband, spirit wife, refusing to let you go, causing delay, serpentine spirit, hear the word of the Lord. I curse you from those bodies now. Out of those bodies, in the name of Jesus Christ. There are seven ladies. Seven is the number I see. I rebuke that spirit from your life now. I set you free by fire. I command the spirit of delay out of their bodies now. I forcefully open your marital settlement. I said I forcefully open your marital settlement. Everything restricting you, everything delaying you, I open it by fire now. Everywhere your name has been carried to, everywhere your picture, one of your personal belongings or another, and they are enchanting and they are using it as a point of contact. I am not praying for everybody this time. I'm praying for those who continue to miss personal items. Personal things get missing in strategic season. When you are trusting God for promotion, when you are expecting a breakthrough, suddenly you will begin to look for something. I prophesy by fire, everything they have taken, using to regulate your life, we burn their enchantment in the name of Jesus Christ. Every negative medical report,
that is in your hand and you are saying, no, no, I choose to believe God. I choose to believe God. Now I declare, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your words. I declare those negative reports be cancelled now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody here struggling with shortness of breath. Shortness of breath. I see it as an attack. Shortness of breath. You are just struggling with breathing recently. By the hand of the Holy Ghost, we clear your nasal cavity in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare anything God has not planted in your body, we uproot it now in the name of Jesus Christ. I stretch my hands over God's people. I release upon them the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. The power to get wealth. Let the work of your hands begin to prosper now. Those among us who are appointed to die, those among us appointed for untimely death, I declare, by the blood of Jesus, I release every siege, everything trying to cut you off. We bind them now in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I release everybody under the sound of my voice. Enter your ordinations forcefully. Everything that stops men from where you came from, everything that stops people from where you came from, the things that stopped your fathers, the things that stopped your mothers, when they come against you, I declare they fall before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lastly, before we go, for those amongst us that people have written off, people have undermined, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nobody believes in you. It looks like you are the failure of the family. It looks like you are the black sheep. Nothing good can happen. Now I put the oil of gladness, the beautiful ashes, I put it upon your head in the name of Jesus Christ. I leave you with a commandment. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. I leave you with a commandment. Go and prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. Your life will never remain the same. Every door you have been knocking on that has refused to open, and you are almost giving up and saying it will not happen, I prophesy in the next 7 days. In the next 7 days. In the next 7 days. May the Lord shock you with testimonies. Every door that you have been knocking, you have continued to knock, it has refused to respond. I prophesy as I'm commanded, in the next 7 days, go and prosper. I send fire of judgments now. Everything that have said over their dead body for you to prosper, everything that has become violent about your case, every strong man that is warring around the clock, every battle that is above you, everything that is above your strength, by the fire of God's vengeance, we rain down vengeance on them now. We judge every altar that buffets your life. We declare that they are frustrated now. Thank you, Jesus. Please go ahead and celebrate Jesus. Listen. Listen. We are going to give Jesus a shout of praise. Listen. It's an instruction. We will shout and celebrate him in joy, in excitement. Every wall of Jericho around your life will sink as you shout. Are you ready? At the count of three, we will rejoice. One, two, three.
To God, we trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnakazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.